Lord, we're grateful for freedom, for a place to meet out of the weather, for food that we've had to eat already. We ask your blessing on your word. Help us be attentive. Understand that you're speaking to us. Thank you for the truth of it, for Jesus that loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're our guest today, it is we've been going through the book of Revelation for just a few weeks, and we're only on chapter 2. Verse 18 and following, which is the church of Thyatira. And these letters absolutely pertain to us today. There's truth that dealt with in each one of these churches at the time that it was written, but also to us. So that's what we're looking at this morning. George Bernard Shaw said that beware of false knowledge. It's more dangerous than ignorance. That's what this is. Last week, we dealt with it a little bit of it at Pergamon when we talked about the issue of they were teaching like Baal, and today they're John's dealing with the Jezebel, which is false teaching. And we absolutely have some of that going on in the country. So it's something that we need to be aware of. You need to know what your Bible says so you know when false teaching comes. Well, let's go ahead and read it. In chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God." Only time you see that phrase in the book of Revelation today in the letter to Thyatira. "Who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like unburnished brass." Brass is a form of judgment in the Old Testament. Remember in Numbers, he said, "Make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole." Why? Because it was the judgment on their sin. When the snake would take away, if they believed in it, it would take away the dying of the people that was going on. "I know your works, that love and faith and ministry and patience, and that thy works are more..." You're doing better now than when you started. That's what he says. They had kept on. They're doing some things. "But I have this against you, that you're allowing a woman," that he refers to as Jezebel. It's not Jezebel. The lady's name probably was not Jezebel. It's coming from the concept of who Jezebel was and what the mentality of what Jezebel did in the Old Testament. We'll look at those verses quickly if we hurry. Our group at the first service was kind of slow, so we got to push on through it a little bit. "Who calls herself a prophetess?" She was supposed to be speaking of God. "And she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication." First off, does this mean a physical fornication? It can, absolutely, but absolutely the context of the Old Testament when he talks about adultery in these circumstances, he's talking about they had led his people spiritually away from him. There was not as many fertility cults as right at this moment in time. There were still cults there that they worshiped. Apollo was the strange god that they had the temples for at Thyatira, and could have been some of that going on in the physical aspect, but absolutely he's referring to a spiritual adultery, a spiritual fornication as well. "And to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she would repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication." You know, from the time this church started to John is writing this, it's probably 40 years. So this has been going on. He said, "She did this, the church was allowing it. I wrote the church, said, you need to repent or I'm going to kill somebody." Basically, that's what he says, then that's the next line. "And they had not. And she will not repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their works." If you don't repent, I'm going to get you too. "And I will kill her children." That didn't mean her physical children. It meant the people that she was teaching and was taking on that belief system that she was promoting. "And all the churches shall know." The other churches that are in this circuit, they're going to see what happens. They're going to see that I'm fitting to take somebody out. You know, we don't think of Jesus as killing anybody. Oh, he's too merciful. Oh, he said, "I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto each one of you according to your works." But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as I'm not teaching. The ones that did not follow her are not following her, that are being faithful, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast you none of those burdens. She said, you're not going to be judged like this if you don't follow this craziness that she's teaching. Nevertheless, that's what you have. He said, hold fast. The ones that are not giving in to this, you're holding to the truth, you stay with that. You stand with that. And he that overcometh and that keepeth thy works unto the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. This will come back out in Revelation. And he shall rule with them a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers. Also I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow. This is the longest letter of the seven letters. And it's to really the most insignificant church that's in a town, because this town is not really significant as the rest of them. It didn't have a lot of the government influence where the emperor worship was, had a main seat. It was not in a place of fortitude. It was on a flat land, so it had been conquered a lot. So it was not really a viable place. It was overtaken by a lot of people. Roman took it over in 190, and it was been since there okay. Now, here's the deal with the whole thing. It's concerned about everyday life, because here's the issue. She's teaching them. They have a main focus in that town, especially of guilds or just labor unions. And if you were going to do business, whatever you worked in, you had to be a part of this labor union or you basically didn't get a job. And a lot of these labor unions was a focus on paganism, usually to Apollo was the main god of Thyatira at that point in time. So they would have these feasts. You would have to go to the feast if you're going to get a job. And they had food offered to idols and Lord knows whatever else was going on at those places. And she was teaching them from a Christian perspective in the church there at Thyatira. Oh, it's okay. You can still take part in all this paganism because, my goodness, Jesus don't want you to go without a job, right? You know how we translate that? Well, Jesus understands. Jesus wants us to go along to get along. No, he doesn't. He expects. Oh, how many times do people tell me when they're doing something wrong, and I know they're doing something wrong and trying to make excuses for it, would Jesus understand? I said, no. He expects. It's not he understands, and that's exactly what she's teaching. Everybody boils it down. That's what it was. She was teaching to the believers, and we'll see a few verses in the Bible that absolutely said, oh, that's what happens. You tell somebody what they want to hear, and guess what they're going to go? They're going to go listen to you. If they'll promote the sin you're in, you're going to go to somewhere where they'll talk about it. It's okay for you to sin your sin because you don't want to change. Isn't that right? So you go somewhere else. That's exactly the crux of this whole matter at Thyatira. He reminds them. He said, my feet are bronze. I'm the judge. You know, I'm coming. This is a serious deal, this false teachers that's going on here. And something's going to have to be done. And it was a lot of industry going on there, a lot of guilds in Thyatira, more so than the other cities. Some of the people that write, man, I read more on, did they really have zinc in which they could do bronze? And, I mean, people write their whole history. They surveyed history to find out what was going on so that they could do this. We don't know exactly. We were not there. That's a long time ago. But everybody agreed this place was centered on the guilds more than anywhere else. So it was a big deal, and that's exactly what it was. Christ calls his church, believers, us, out to be holy and maintain purity and call sin out whenever it's there. The very first instruction Jesus came, what did he say in Matthew? He says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen, you what? Take one or two more with you and let them be a witness to him, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to do that, take him before the church, the whole congregation. Why? So that by the mouth of two or three, somebody can win them over and correct it. And if they refuse, even to the church, basically treat him like a Gentile, because he's not interested in changing. You know, and Gentiles and the Jews, they didn't get along, and because that's who they were. The practice of church discipline that Christ instituted to maintain the wholeness of the church has two purposes, okay? Number one, if a believer is a believer and they've gotten sidetracked and they're going out there living the way they shouldn't live, hopefully this discipline will bring them back and say, oh man, you know, I know a tire ran off, but I want to get fixed. I want to get it ready. That was the main reason. And number two was this. If you don't repent, it's going to cost you. What did Jesus say? I'm going to kill those who follow her. Oh, Jesus wouldn't kill anybody. Oh, yeah, he is. Go to Revelation. At the end of it, it gets kind of bad over there. You know? It does. Calling sinners back to righteousness. That's the main reason. You know, in love, we try to confront somebody, you know, get you back on the right track, and then help you understand. You know, if you're not going to get on the right track, hey, you're going to suffer. Judgment's coming. That's the way it is. After the birth of the church on Pentecost, what happened? God killed Ananias and Sapphira for lying. He said, I'm serious. In this day and time in America, unfortunately, majority of church is a joke. Everything goes now. A lot of things used to be sin. Now everything's all right. Who decided that? Kind of, that's what's going on here. Oh, she's, you know, the phrase, I don't know if we'll get that far, but you remember, she says the deeper things of Satan, coming from Satan. You know, we've had this happen before, right? All of us. Oh, Terry, you just don't understand. God's given me a new word. All y'all missed it. I have it. Some of them look at this lady, Jezebel, which was not her name, but just a concept, and think, maybe that's who, really, that's who this was. They had a particular name for it in that time frame, Oracle, where she received visions, and now she's mixed it all in. But I've heard people tell me that. Well, you know, regardless of what it is, they'll say, oh, well, you just don't have that deep knowledge yet. If you get it like I got it, then you'll agree with me. I say, I hope I never get it, because what you're saying ain't right. You know, it doesn't take a PhD to understand 99% of the Bible. You know, when it says, thou shalt not lie, what does that mean? Thou shalt not lie. That's what it means. So it's that simple. It's not that complicated. And that's exactly what happened. Several times, Jerusalem Council, he said, don't do this, don't do this. Lead a life of purity. Why? Because the church is, he said, that's what it's about. That's what he wants. It is the longest of the letters, and has a lot of correction going on. Pretty serious, all right? Now, the important message is this. False doctrine and sin are not to go unnoticed. Somebody needs to be paying enough attention and say, wait a minute, where'd you get that idea from? Oh, Joel Osteen. Oh, that explains it. Somebody needs to call that out. Well, you shouldn't be mean. I'm not being mean. He's just a false prophet. Just like Andy Stanley is now. I mean, they have lost their mind when it comes to, they don't base it on the scripture. I mean, and nobody, oh, we just can't do that. He said, you better do it, because somebody's going to get killed. That's pretty serious, wouldn't you say? I mean, it is. Are we to be mean? Nope. We just say, well, wait a minute, that's not true. It can't be true. What did he just say? Beware of false knowledge. Why? It's more dangerous than ignorance. Allowed even under the banner, oh, we're just going to be one of those that tolerate everybody, and we love everybody, and we love rainbows, and everybody's going to be happy. No. No, that's not what it means. Well, if we try to tell them that they're sinners and they have a problem because we're sinners and we have a problem, that we won't have any unity. That's what she was doing. No, he says. There may be a lot commendable to a church who does this, and they may be on the surface where they have an effective ministry and they're growing, but a lot of times they're not understanding what's going to happen to those people that are following this. The curse is coming later, that if not confronted, judgment will come. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to kill their children. That's pretty serious, don't you think? And some of them would die immediately. Some of them would die later on in the final judgment. That's what he is. It was founded by, like I said already, Alexander the Great, one of his people founded it, but Rome, it suffered a lot. People were always overtaking it because it didn't have a good defense system, but in 190, Rome took it over, and then it kind of thrived after that because they had some security, and that's what it is. I mean, that's who they were. But he looked at them, and he contrasts them to Ephesus. He said, you're doing these things better than you were in the beginning, but I still have a major problem with you. Why? Because you're letting this false teacher teach inside the church. They were not seeing it on television. You know, if you see it on television, you can turn it off, right? But if you're allowing it to take place in the church where you worship, that's pretty serious. He said, oh, no, that's not going to work. Those who participate in that, because that's exactly it seems exactly what she's saying. It's that antinomianism where, you know, God really didn't hold us accountable to obey the law any. We're under grace now, so we can sin and it's okay. So really, you go to that guild and you get involved in that because you can have a job. And if you eat that pagan meat, that's okay. And if you get involved in all this other pagan worship that comes with that, it's okay because Jesus understands because we're free now. Paul dealt with that. Same thing. He said, absolutely not. Basically, that's the hardest what's going on. You just go along and get along. That's what the church in America is doing. Even when I wasn't in church, I knew what the rest of the world thought Christians shouldn't do. You know what I mean? When I was 18, every non-believer said, Christians ought not to be drinkers. Boy, that's gone, isn't it? Well, Jesus understands. Why? He said, what? We never read that verse out of Matthew where it says, drunkards will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if you're a drinker and it could lead to you being a drunk, why would you do it? You say, well, that's not fair. I know it's not fair because everything I know about alcoholism is bad. You know, I grew up in it. I don't know anything positive about it. If you have to have that to make you feel good, you need Jesus. Do you understand that? Well, that's not fair. Why not? I mean, that's exactly why. Anyway, let's get off of that one, all right? You know, I'm not going to be your judge. You drink, all right, but just don't come around me drinking and drunk, all right? I've had to work around that. I'm not going to tolerate it. If you don't leave me, I'll leave you because I don't have to be around that. I've been there before. The guild meetings, however, included all kind of stuff that was tributing stuff to the pagan god. And you're worshiping a pagan god with the temple when they have these feasts. You know, that's exactly what it was. That's what was on. Who was this? A lot of people try to say that, you know, that was not her name. I agree. I don't believe that. Just like when he's talking about Baalism in Church of Pergamum, it's that concept. It's not the person. We don't know who her name was. We just know what she taught. She taught like Jezebel did. Here's the thing. We should not be surprised when you turn on the television and you see Creflo Dollar with thousands of people sitting there. Why? Because he tells them what they want to hear. That's not a surprise when you look at Joel Osteen's 30,000. What? He tells them every day's a Friday. I mean, don't be surprised. Why is that? Look what the scripture says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, which is teaching, is all doctrine is. But having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust. Well, you know, that church over there is against gender change, so I'm going to go over here to this church because they're for it. So what are they going to do? Vance Havner's right. We gravitate to what lures us, and we end up where we belong. And that's exactly right. Well, I'll just find me a church that agrees with what I want to do, and that's exactly what happens. You're not going to go to some place where you're going to be confronted with your sin, because then you've got to deal with your sin, and you can't handle it, so you leave. We know people in our own personal lives. Oh, I can't go there anymore. Why? Well, y'all talk about sin too much. I don't want to change. I had a grown man telling me that. I said, well, he wasn't mad at me. He just said, I ain't ready to change yet, so I can't handle that pressure. So he didn't come back anymore. That's the way it goes. We were not ugly. I was an ugly friend of mine. And he said, I just want to tell you, this is why I can't handle it. He was just honest. I said, okay. Well, we'll help you any way we can, whenever we can, but you're going to have to make that decision. He said, I know, I ain't ready. And that's exactly what happens. Of their own lust. We're going to find somebody who will validate what we want to do so we can get what we want done in our own life. That's exactly what he says, right? And will turn away their ears from what? The truth. I forgot which one it was, but it was a headline this morning. One of those, what do they call that four Middle Eastern ladies? What do they call that group in the Congress? Quad? Quad. One of those, squad, yeah, not quad, squad. One of those ladies went in and said, you know what? If this was an election year, they wouldn't be doing that to Trump. You think, she said it? Yeah, she said it. She got enough sense to understand that's what's going on. Why? Well, we can't have that. We don't want to change, and my goodness. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. That's exactly what God said was going to happen. And that's exactly what's happening. We have to make some judgments about who she was. We don't know exactly who she was, but we know what she did and what the concept of what she did in the Old Testament, where it comes from. It comes out of 1 Kings. Here's a couple of verses, chapter 16. And Ahab, good gracious, what was he? He was a pansy times 1,000. He was a king of Israel. And look what it says about him. Ahab, the son of Omri, did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah above all the ones who ever came before him. He had done much worse than all of them ever before. You know anybody like that? Man, he's the worst. But listen, his wife was worse. He was bad, but his wife trumped him. You remember what she did? And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. Whoa. Jezebel. Just that name sounds, ooh, doesn't it? The daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians. Who were they? They were not Israel's allies. Okay? Phoenicians, always against Israel. They were not their allies. So he goes in and marries one of his adversaries. And went and served Baal. Who was Baal? A pagan god. And worshiped him. And he reared up an altar. He built a church for Baal at the key place in Samaria where God's, remember when the northern kingdom split, they worshiped in Samaria, the southern king worshiped in Jerusalem. Samaria was the hub, the religious hub. He set up a pagan church there where God's focus was. How about that? Well, is that false or not? Well, it wasn't for God. And Ahab made the Ashereth, and Ahab did yet more to provoke God, Jehovah, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings that were before him. He was a bad guy. You know, he'd make Hitler look like a Sunday school teacher. Basically, when you look at it, I'm serious. But there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, who Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Oh, he was already a pagan, but she made it 10,000 times worse. You know how that works? An evil man or a really evil woman, oh, they're bad. You know, can I give y'all some dating advice? Anybody that's still dating? Always marry somebody better than you are. Okay? You bad enough. That was my take on it. You know, I understood that. I said, listen, I need somebody better than me. I don't need anybody worse than me. I'm bad enough. I'm going to marry somebody better than me. So I had to wait a long time. That's it. I'm serious. She was pagan to the max, and she made him worse than he already was. That's what it says. Who Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. She caused him to be more evil than he was. You know, there was none like that. Oh, he was wicked, but she was worse. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all the Amorites. Boy, you remember where they were. Some of those, whenever they went into the promised land, God said, kill them all. Oh, that's wicked. He said, oh, no. I know what happens. It's like people who marry someone that's lost. Well, I'll change them. Good luck with that. They drag you away from Jesus. That's the way that works 99% of the time. So he said, oh, no, I know what's going to happen. When you go in that promised land, if you don't eradicate them, they will make you will be serving their gods. And what happened? They acclimated to the pagans. They were serving their gods, so they went into captivity two different times. The whole nation did. Why? Because he said, I told you. Did one whom Jehovah cast out before the children of Israel. They were wicked. That's it. He was Ahab's wife, and she was a wicked, self-serving pagan. Obviously, she was the power. Like, who's behind Biden? Somebody. Y'all remember that email that passed around a few years ago when Obama became president? You know, I found out today legally I can be political for 15 minutes. I didn't know that. Somebody tried to say, you're going to get in trouble. I found out I can be. Hey! Not that I wasn't to start with. But about that time, somebody passed around this email, and out there on this fence post by itself, there's a big old turtle up on the post. And the caption was, he didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him there. If you don't understand Mr. Biden ain't calling the shots, you are in the dark. I mean, somebody else is running that show. I got a good idea, but I'm not even going to be political and say it. She was wicked, okay? That's who she was. So when he's talking about this lady in the church who's doing this teaching is like her, boy, that is a bad, that's a bad deal. I mean, that's a bad deal. And she was wicked. She hated Elijah. Remember, she tried to get him killed several times. She was not a prophetess. Well, Jezebel wasn't. But she funded 850 Baal prophets with God's money. How about that? Did you go back and read that one? And determined to bring pagan worship, because she was a pagan, into the covenant community of Israel. And she did. And she did. Remember what happened to her? Anybody remember the story? It's not pretty. The dogs cleaned her bones. And the scripture said, this is what's going to happen to her. They're going to kill her, and they want him out to bury her. I don't want to hear that. Well, that's the truth. I mean, that's exactly what happened. And Abel was not only wicked, he was weak. Remember when he wanted Naboth's vineyard? Naboth said, oh, no, this is a family vineyard. I'm not going to sell this. So he crawled up in a ball and said, I'm the king and I can't have what I want. He's a pansy. I mean, that's exactly what he did. Go back and read it. He whines, I can't have it. I can't have it. I'm the king and I can't have it. Look what his wife said. I'll get it for you. What'd she do? She orchestrated a fake trial, brought lying witnesses in. They condemned Naboth, had him killed. And then she goes and said, oh, you know, he's dead. So now you can go and you can have your vineyard now. What does that sound like? They sent to Jezebel and said, Naboth stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, take possession of the vineyard. Naboth's dead. She didn't really say, I had him killed for you. But that's what happened. This is what's going on. This is what false truth does. It messes up everything. Well, I don't agree. Well, I'm sorry. That's exactly what the scripture says. Take possession of it. We got to hurry, all right? We don't really know, but as clear as day, she was a woman inside the Christian church there teaching this stuff. And she was leading people astray. And it had been going on a long time. And Jesus said, I'm finna stop this. Y'all better stop it or I'm going to stop it. We just say, let's hurry up and get to a couple of things that are reflections for us. Because that's where we live, all right? Now, all these notes, Danny, I'll put out if you want to go back to them and look at some of them. There's some verses and references to it. She leads them astray, away from God. You know, anybody that leads you away from your commitment to Christ is not good for you. You know that, right? It doesn't matter who it is. That's why I'm absolutely convinced a believer never should even date an unbeliever. Whoa, that's crazy. No. When he said, I'm going into the promised land, don't have anything to do with them. Why? Because they'll lead you astray. That's exactly what happens. And 99% of the time, that's what it is. Well, I'm the exception. Well, you're about the one out of 100. Because we know too many of them that didn't go that way. The Christian got pulled back, way back, and no longer followed Jesus. Why? Because their partner who was lost didn't want anything to do with it. Some of them live a long time before the person comes around. A long time. Now, Revelation teaches that Jezebel and Baalism will be throughout the whole book that we look at. It'll always be coming back up in some form or another. False prophets, false antichrists, all that stuff. We're not done with it. You know, we're surely not done with it. That's going to come in different forms. How do we look at this today? What practices or social norms in our culture pressure us as a church to conform to the world? Don't say that out loud, all right? Think about it, though. How does the culture around us put pressure on us? Can I give you an example? And I wasn't even in church then. You know, I didn't start till I was 18. The school would have never even thought about having a ball game on Wednesday night. Ever. And that was all day Sunday. Is that a compromise? Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely. Oh, they're going to try to squeeze you into that mold. We have them all over the place. I mean, all kind of angles. I ain't your judge. You can do what you want to do. Just remember what it shows us about ourselves. It helps us see who we are. Do we have specific instances in our church where maybe we're right there on the edge, or maybe we're compromising here and we're not paying any attention? Are we? What do we need to do any different? You know, think about it. It's something to think about. That's what was going on with Thyatira. They've been letting it go, and Jesus said, well, this isn't going on too long. You need to fix this or somebody's going to get hurt. You know? What about that? Or in our fellowship of churches. You know, as a general rule, our Southern Baptist Convention is on a road to hell. Unless some major revelation takes place revival. Some of our leaders, they're done. You know, they done walked away from what true is. People that I know real well and had, usually I respect for. Why? Because of that. Oh, we can't say that. We can't say that. They won't come back. I mean, that's it. I mean, really, that is it. Or the false teachers today who lead churches astray under the guise of a need to make the gospel more palatable to the world. Well, boy. Oh, we don't talk about sin because they won't come in here. So we have a whole service where the gospel is never mentioned. Jesus is never mentioned. They just come to this dark place that just looks like a theater. And they put on a show, and then maybe somebody might talk to them. Remember that when that came out about 25 years ago the first time? Everybody thought, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. No, it's a damnable thing. Why? Because they don't ever talk about sin. That's it. Or to help Christians get along. Well, I can't do that because that might cause me some problems where I work. And Jesus don't want me to. He doesn't want me to lose my job. Why not? Oh, you know, that's what we do. What did Peter say? We'll justify our sin. Those people I talked to, well, Jesus understands. I said, no, he doesn't. He expects. You know, we just write it all off as he's a merciful God and he loves us and he's just going to let us get away and we can freeload on his grace. No. He said, I'm coming. I'm the judge. You better ante up here. How we compromise because it seems to be the easiest way to be accepted by the world. We want everybody to like us. We want to get in on the parties. We want to get in on all the stuff. If we say the name of Jesus, man, they won't let us come. You know that's all you have to do, right? You can talk about God all you want to. Talk about Jesus. They'll show you the door, buddy. They're like you got leprosy or something. Now try that if you don't believe me. I guarantee you can talk about God and Muhammad and all them and everybody just love you, but you say, but Jesus, and see what happens. I guarantee you. Oh, that's what it is. Jesus, you know how we would have done that? We'd have been in the Roman days whenever they were killing Christians. They'd strip us naked and put us in the gladiator and they'd have the wild beast kill us. We'd just say, oh, no, Caesar's Lord, and we'd get our clothes back on and go back home. So, well, Jesus wouldn't want me to die. Why not? But why do we think? You know, why do we think that we're not supposed to be persecuted just because we haven't been yet? You know, those in Thyatira, perhaps we don't really realize what happens when we make people feel good about the sin in their life that they don't want to deal with. Oh, Jesus understands. You can just live like that. It's okay. You know, we can still love them and say, you know that sin, right? You know it's going to cost you. You know, they don't want to hear that. And we're not nice to tell them that. I mean, that's the going thing, right? I mean, that is it. Christ is pictured as the one who comes bronze judgment. He said, sorry, guys. The church is not going to just get away with everything that it's getting away with. He said, no, I'm coming. And I'm going to get this straightened out, so you better pay attention. And that's exactly what he means by it. How do we reconcile this with, oh, Jesus is a merciful God, and he loves us and forgives us, and every day's a Friday? No, it's not. Remember what the Old Testament said? We don't ever hear this one. God is angry with the wicked every day. And false prophets in the church, he said, I'm going to kill her and all those who follow her. That's serious. You say, I don't like this message. It's the only thing to keep us alive. You know, the truth is what keeps us alive. Nobody wants the truth. That's exactly right. His infinite grace and mercy. Oh, we're just going to call in his mercy. We're not going to worry about all this judgment stuff. Boy, you wait. It's coming. All of it is. Have we lost sight of the holiness of God because we're preoccupied with the mercy of God because we don't want to change the sin we're living in, so we're going to call on God's mercy instead of changing our life. We ain't talking about judgment. We're talking about God's mercy. He's going to have mercy on me because I don't intend to change. You know, like the God I told you about, bless his heart. He was honest, though. You know, he said, I'd go and talk with him and visit with him, and he helped a guy on the farm, so they always had some state-of-the-art equipment, so I'd like to go down there, you know. And we were good friends. And he said, man, I'm sorry, I just can't go back to church up there. He said, you preaching the word up there. And he said, I can't handle it. He said, because I ain't going to change. I said, okay, that's all I can do, brother. I love you. And he's a friend of this day. Do we focus on God's mercy because of that? Do we think it's okay to live like this? Oh, I'm going to call on God's mercy. I ain't worrying about this judgment because his mercy is going to cover all this sin because, I'm not going to change. I don't want to change. And God's okay with that? What did he do in the Old Testament? He killed them. He killed a lot of them. Remember last week we saw whenever the people of his own people, his God's people, would not stand up against Baal, what did he do? He killed 24,000 of his own people because they wouldn't stand up to what's right. So we think somehow we're better than they are, I guess. Is it possible that Christ could come into such judgment of our church today, of fake people, that he wouldn't take people out? Oh, no. Jesus would never do that. He loves us. He does love us. But he's also a holy God that cannot tolerate sin unchecked. You know? Now, you and I both know, there ain't many places you're going to hear this today. You know, it's just not, it's not a comforting thing. Is it? It should be a comfort enough that Jesus loves us enough to tell us the truth so that we can avoid damnation if we will turn to him. That's what he said. I went to her and told her, and she would not what? She wouldn't repent. He said, okay, you got a choice. I got a choice. You got a choice. We all have a choice. Just remember the consequences. They're all going to be there. Always. Well, we got to quit. There'll be some more notes on there that I didn't cover about the deep things of Satan, what that means, what we think it might mean. We're not really sure of some of that. There's so much symbolism and metaphorical stuff that's throughout the book of Revelation, but we'll try, you know. And God give us enough to pay attention to see, how does this apply to us today? It means we don't let false teachers tell us a lie, that we know what the truth in the Bible is because we studied enough, all of us. And remember what we said last week? Not just me. You're responsible. The church. And I'm responsible to know what it says. So when they try to come in here and say, oh, you want to say, oh, no, whoa, wait a minute. Where'd you get that from? All of us are responsible for the sake of somebody else knowing the truth so that maybe they can escape damnation. That's the whole purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are merciful, that you will forgive us, that you do give us a warning and you ask us to repent because you love us. Father, thank you that Jesus' blood will take away our sin if we will turn to you. Father, help us all evaluate where we are and what games we're playing with this world. And Father, what the consequences are going to be, not only for us, but our children, our grandchildren, if we do not take a stand for what's right. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.